back-to-back LC. So in a back-to-back LC, beneficiary's bank opens several LCs within the value of the mother LC. And this is also known as the countervailing LC. The terms and conditions of the second LCs are exactly the same as of the first LC, that is the mother LC. The second LC may be a domestic LC. Any change in the second LC is possible when the opener of the original LC agrees to such a change in the mother LC. Sorry. So in back-to-back, what happens is, let us say that I am a manufacturer and I need to buy the raw material. But I do not have the funds to, buy the raw materials. And my supplier needs an LC. So what I do is, I actually ask my customer, my buyer, to open an LC. And I then open a back-to-back LC. So that when I get my amount, I keep the portion that I am supposed to retain with me. And in the back-to-back LC, I'm guaranteeing, or basically, and mind you, it's not like a transferable LC. Here, I get the full amount, but against the remittance that I receive, I also guarantee payment to my supplier who is supplying raw material to me so that he also gets his remittance against the remittance I receive from the mother LC. So this is a back-to-back LC. So here, I mean, if I do not have the resources on my own, then I can have a back-to-back LC where I use the LC of my buyer to finance my purchase. Red clause LC. So in a red clause LC, advance payment is provided against the supply of certain documents like drawings and manufacturing schedules as mobilization advance for manufacturing of capital goods whose manufacturing cycle time is high. The advance payment details are printed in red, thereby being called as a red clause LC. So when you are talking of project purchases, you are actually asking for a design and the equipment is being specifically designed for you. So it is not a standard design, but the supplier is actually going to redesign a machine as per your specifications, you know, in terms of the width or the size or whatever. Now, usually in an LC, only when the material is shipped out that you can submit the documents and then receive the payment. But in a red clause LC, a part of the payment is released against submission of the drawings or manufacturing schedule. So that the LC is split into two parts. One is the drawing and the manufacturing schedules, etc. And the second is on the delivery of the goods. These are known as the red clause LC, where the red clause portion is paid in advance against submission of the documents. Then you have the green clause. So in this type of LCs, advance is provided against the goods which are manufactured and kept in a warehouse for a buyer against the warehouse receipt before the same is shipped. So here again, the departure is you are not waiting for the material to be shipped out. The moment the material is ready to ship, the payment is already made. And it's more like an advance in this particular case. So once the evidence is provided that material is ready and it is ready to ship in the warehouse, that is when the payment is released. And then once the payment is released, then the shipment is executed. So now we come to what are the common discrepancies in letter of credit which should be avoided. So letter of credit expired. Documents presented after expiration of the date of the letter of credit. So in a letter of credit, there are many conditions. So one of the condition will be that the shipment has to take place by a certain date. The other condition could be that all the documents have to be furnished to the bank within certain number of days, like let's say 21 days from the shipping date. That means you have to gather all the documents and submit it to your bank so that they can be actually presented to the issuing bank within 21 days from the date of shipment. And then of course there is a LC expiry date. So there may be a date by which you are supposed to have shipped the material, and if you do not honor this date, that the LC may be termed as expired. So these have to be taken care of. Whenever you are operating with an LC, make sure that the times which are specified there are realistic and you are able to meet those times. Late shipments of goods. So as we said, you know, if there is a deadline which is specified for the shipment, which says that the goods must be shipped before X date, then you have to make sure that the goods are shipped before that date, not later. If you ship it later, it's considered as a discrepancy which can actually make your LC null and void, which means that you will then have to directly pursue your payment with the buyer. In case you, for some reason, your shipment is getting delayed, it is always safe to go and seek a LC amendment. Tell the buyer that, look, we are for XYZ reason not able to honor the shipping date which is presented in the LC. Please amend the LC. It will cost them a little bit of money. That money can be borne by you, but rather than having a discrepancy in the LC, it's better to incur a little cost and have the LC modified or amended. Merchandise description, not strictly as per the LC terms. So you have the name of the merchandise, the name of the goods, name of the equipment described as in one way in the LC document, in the letter of credit. But when you are making the invoice, the packing list and the other documents, you have described it differently. This is again a LC discrepancy. So you have to be very, very sure that the description of the goods or the merchandise is exactly the same. There should be no difference whatsoever. Inconsistent spelling of parties' names in the document. So even spelling mistakes in the name of the party should not be there. There should be no omissions. So suppose it is written there private limited, then you cannot omit the private, or you cannot abbreviate something. It should be exactly as per the LC documents. Late presentation of document. So this is more or less like the first case, you know, that there is a deadline by which you are supposed to present the document to the issuing bank. If you are presenting it late, then again this is termed as a discrepancy. Terms of sale not complied with. So there are various terms of sale. If you're not complied with any of them, then that again is a discrepancy. Ocean bill of lading issued by the forwarding agent, unacceptable. So normally most of the LCs will say that they require the shipper's bill of lading duly endorsed by the shipper. So what it means is that you cannot present a house bill of lading. House bill of lading, which is given by the forwarding agent, will not be acceptable. You have to take the bill of lading from the shipping company, and it has to be endorsed by the shipping company. Partial shipment or transshipment affected despite of LC terms. So most of the LCs have these terms, you know, whether a partial shipment is allowed or not, and whether transshipment is allowed or not. Now, if you are very confident that you will never have an instance of partial shipment, then it's okay that you accept the terms that partial shipment will not be allowed. But many a times you cannot control whether the shipping line will transship your consignment or not. If you're not sure, if you do not have an assurance from your shipping line, it's always good to leave this part and say transshipment should be allowed. Because if there is a clause which says transshipment not allowed, and if your container gets transshipped, that's a discrepancy. Insurance does not cover risk stipulated in the LC. So let us say that the LC says that 110% of the invoice value has to be insured, whereas the insurance that you have issued only covers 100% of the value. This again is a discrepancy. Whatever is the terms provided in the letter of credit, the same has to be done. If there is any change, any deviation, that's a discrepancy. Foreign language documents must be exactly as per the LC. Now, in majority of the cases, I find that even when we are indenting for some of the Indian customers, the terms are very clearly set out. we are getting material from China, we are getting material from Mexico, etc., where the native language is not English. So here it is clearly specified that all documents have to be in English language. So be very careful, make sure that all the documents, whether it's bill of lading, invoice, packing list, certificate of origin, they are in English language, else it will be a discrepancy. Documents are not consistent with one another. That means you find that the description, in different documents are different. Or imagine that in the invoice, the quantity is shown as 12 tons, and in the packing list, it is shown as 12.5 tons. Now, this is a discrepancy between the documents. Or you find that the description in invoice and packing list are different for the merchandise. So this is again a discrepancy. Bill of lading not clean. What does it mean? So when the material is loaded on the vessel, normally the bill of lading, a clean bill of lading is issued, which means the material is received in good condition. If there is any damage or so, the word clean will not be there on the bill of lading. So you have to be very careful to actually get a bill of lading which is a clean bill of lading. That means the material was handed over in perfect condition. That means there was no discrepancy or no damage or anything which was visible. Insurance issued after the shipment date. You are supposed to normally insure the consignment either on or before the shipping date. So if it is insured after the shipping date, that could be one more discrepancy. Bill of lading not properly endorsed. So we saw that the bill of lading has to be from the shipping line and not from the forwarder. It should not be the house bill of lading, but it also should be endorsed by the shipping line. So it need not be just an electronic document, which has been printed out. It has to be stamped and signed, endorsed by the shipping company. Late shipment. Shipment made after the latest allowable shipping date. We already have covered this. Late presentation. Document presented more than 21 days after the shipment or as specified in the LC. This part also we have covered. Letter of credit overdrawn. That means, let us say the letter of credit was covering, let's say, $30,000. But the value of goods which have been actually shipped out are $30,200. So then the letter of credit has been overdrawn, and this again is a discrepancy. So amount of drawing exceeds the amount available under the letter of credit. So letter of credit amount is the limit. You cannot actually invoice higher than what the letter of credit provides for. Short shipment. So if short shipment or part shipment is not allowed and you have shipped lesser quantity, then that amounts to a short shipment, which again becomes a discrepancy. Bill of exchange, the draft drawn on incorrect party. That means the bill of exchange has not been drawn on the correct party or the correct bank. Bill of exchange payable on an intermediate date or indeterminable date. So that means the date is ambiguous. It's not very clearly specified. Again, a discrepancy. Merchandise description in the invoice differs from that in the credit. So again, this we have covered. Onboard notation on the bill of lading not dated. That means the bill of lading is issued as onboard, but the date on which the consignment or the container was onboarded is not mentioned on the bill of lading. Bill of lading showing incorrect consignee. That means the consignee name is incorrectly shown. Bill of lading shows port of loading and or discharge other than the port specified in the LC. So what happens is that generally we recommend, whenever the LC is opened, we will say, like for example, for Mexico, we are not sure which port it will be shipped from. So we normally ask the buyer to put the condition any port in Mexico. And likewise, even for the destination port, many a times the customers will say that, okay, we want the material at Nhava Sheva. But sometimes they will say, we want it at Hazira, or we want it at Pipavav or Mundra. So these have to be first verified with the exporter, whether they are able to ship to these locations or not. And if they are not able to do so, you can ask the buyer to open the LC with the port which is possible, which your exporters are willing to supply to. So this has to be taken care of. And once it is put in the LC, the same port have to appear on the documents. So that means your bill of lading, etc., must show the port of loading and the port of discharge as what is mentioned in the LC. So if you have terms like any port in Mexico, that's good enough. It allows you to put any of the ports which are in Mexico and you're still complying with the LC. It is not considered as a discrepancy. Bill of lading does not indicate whether freight is prepaid or payable at destination collect. So what happens here is, if your Incoterms are CIF, then the freight is supposed to have been paid by the exporter or the seller. Now, if it is not written, then this is not clearly specified whether the freight on the bill of lading has already been paid or it is yet to be paid. So this is a discrepancy. It could be that the freight has already been paid, but then the bill of lading must clearly mention that it has already been prepaid by the seller or the exporter. Documents inconsistent with each other. We have covered this point. Bill of lading, insurance certificate, policy, and or bill of exchange are not properly endorsed. So this is more or less endorsed topic. We have taken it up. Absence of signature where required on documents presented. So sometimes people will say that the documents must bear the stamp and signature of the exporter. If that condition is there, you cannot ship the document with a comment there, you know, that this is an electronic document and signature not required. It has to have a signature and a stamp if that was one of the condition in your LC. Shipping terms like ex-factory, FAS, FOB, CFR, CNF, CFI, CIF on invoice differ from those specified in the letter of credit. So if your letter of credit said CFR and you find that actual shipment is on CIF basis, this is a discrepancy. So one has to be very careful that the Incoterms are followed exactly as have been agreed and set out in the letter of credit. Set of documents presented under letter of credit incomplete. So let us say that they have said that as part of the supporting document, you require a bill of lading, invoice, packing list, certificate of origin, certificate of analysis, and various other documents, right? So whatever has been specified, all those documents have to be there. Also, many a times they will tell you that they require all the documents in triplicate. So then you have to make sure that there are three set of documents of all the documents requested and they are in original. That means all of them are signed, stamped individually and they are an original set of document and not photocopies or so. Bill of exchange drawn with incorrect tenor. So this also we have covered. Correction of on bill of lading or insurance certificate policy not initialed. So there is some correction done, but you know, wherever there is a correction, there has to be an initial of an authorized person, and if necessary, maybe even a stamp has to be there to say that it has been corrected by an authorized person. So if this correction is not initialed or stamped, then this could be a discrepancy. So with that, we come to the end of this global payment terms. Thank you.